Welcome to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast, where we explore the fundamental abilities and insights that make us better humans. Here's your host, Christina Eanes.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Essential Skills for Humaning. I'm your host, Christina Eanes, and for today's episode, John Stepper is joining us to talk about how to thrive in any job. Welcome, John.
Oh, hi, Christina. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Now, can you share a little bit about your background with our listeners and viewers?
Well, I think like many people on the who are listening, I've worked in big companies for much of my career. And I grew up in New York City. I had a wonderful career until it wasn't wonderful. Mm. And that kind of uncertainty, that kind of realization that I'd been playing career roulette led me to try to find a better way, both for myself and other people, that you could have a bit more control, make more of all that you have to offer at work, and do so in a way that feels genuine, that feels good.
Oh, I love that, which I love how you're turning that experience into helping others and how to thrive in any job.
Well, it was painful at the time.
Yeah, of course.
But from those, you know, ashes were born something that has helped me and I hope is helping other people.
Mm. Well, so where do we start with how to thrive in any job?
So I think we start with, you know, what is it that we know about what makes people motivated, what makes them thrive? And for me, the best foundation for that is self-determination theory, which sounds a little bit fancy, but all it really says is that all human beings, no matter what age, no matter what culture, have these intrinsic needs of autonomy, a sense of control or agency, a sense of competence, of getting better, of learning, of growing, and a sense of relatedness.
Yeah.
And that relatedness both to other people, because we're social animals, and also to some kind of meaning in what we're doing. And if you can feel those big three, autonomy, competence, relatedness, that kind of changes everything.
Yeah,
it makes you feel better, makes you perform better. You're not sick as often. I mean, just a ton of benefits. And the work that we do looks for ways to help people tap into self-determination at work, no matter what the job is.
Yeah. I love that. Well, and that kind of relates to in your book, Working Out Loud, for those that can see it. that relates to, I think, the five elements that you mentioned in there of purposeful discovery, relationships, generosity, visible work, growth mindset. I love that that's like the full package for how to thrive at work. Can you share a little bit more about those?
Well, it started with visible work, and hence the title. What Working Out Loud meant originally was, hey, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm learning, the projects I'm on, why I'm doing them, useful resources, etc., I am sharing those in some way, typically on some social platform at work, on the internet, or on LinkedIn. And I'm being visible.
Yeah.
And those contributions help me take control. They help me to shape my reputation about who I am and what I'm doing. But what they also did, and this leads to the other elements, is they bring you into contact, particularly in social platforms, with other people who care about those things.
Yeah.
Now, if you're making these contributions, not to be an Instagram influencer, not to be famous or popular, those are fine, but in the workplace, you're doing it to be helpful.
Yes.
And so your mindset is a generous mindset that says, I have something that I think is useful to other people. I'm going to offer it without expectations. Mm-hmm. And as I do that, I'm going to get feedback. I'm going to get connections. And over time, my contributions are signals to other people that lead to trust and that sense of relatedness. So just in that act of, I have this contribution mindset, says, what is it that I have that might be useful to other people that I could share, share online, share an email, share in person. And that over time will help me to build relationships related to the work or goals that I have.
I love that. Now, I can kind of see too, looking at, so for example, you know, some folks feel like they don't want to like brag or...
Oh, the resistance is strong.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, I've been doing this for about a dozen years now and thinking this way, and it's still strong. I think it's human nature. But the top objections are, what if I say something wrong? That's either wrong, like stupid or wrong. I'm going to get in trouble. Who am I to share this? Right, there are other people out there.
Yeah.
And so it's a lack of confidence. And then the third might be, well, I'm going to wait until someone asks me. Like it's almost rude or obnoxious or American to be, I get that a lot, to be sharing things unasked. And, you know, I understand all of those objections. I'm not mocking them. I don't mean to. But those are terrible for you and the company.
Yes.
So for, as an individual, for yourself, it's an opportunity to take your relationship, your reputation in your own hands, right? It's an opportunity for you to earn access to people and resources that can help you in some way, but to do so founded on genuine contributions and generosity, right? So it's an opportunity. So it's up to you. You don't have to take it. Like, yes, you can just sit there and be invisible. That's okay. But there's this lovely quote that says, opportunity can't knock if it doesn't know where you live.
Yeah, I love that.
And now for the company, I mean, how long have we heard about companies trying to, you know, if only Hewlett-Packard knew what Hewlett-Packard knows, right? To unlock the knowledge that's held collectively within the company, they are looking for people. Particularly now as work changes and the pace of change accelerates, they're looking for people to not wait for instructions, to not wait to be asked, but to establish their own connections, their own networks, to make that knowledge visible so that they can work better and faster. And so for both the individual and the company, this way of working, this kind of more open, more generous, more connected, and we'll call it agile way of working, is better on multiple levels. It's just we do not have the habits of doing that, number one, and fear, both this internal fear, but also fear of what might happen to us, is enough of enough of a concern that people don't do it, even if they believe in the benefits.
Yeah. Well, and I love the perception shift from, ooh, you know, I can't self-promote or brag or whatever it is, to, hey, I'm being generous by making sure and sharing knowledge and helping others. Right. So I think that's a huge shift that's very helpful too.
It is what we, so sometimes when people talk about working out loud, they'll have a, you know, they'll have a megaphone on their, it's like, no, just please no megaphones. It's not about shouting, and megaphones are certainly one way, right? The contributions are involve a little bit of reflection, like what is it that would be useful or helpful? Now, sometimes that's just attention or appreciation that you offer. So sometimes it's just you reading or being curious and paying attention. Like you were with me. I said, hey, I saw this that you did and I thought it was helpful. And would you like to?
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens quickly. Sometimes it happens over time. But you're right. That is what, that's the key that liberates you, that gets you out of your own head and says, hey, I'm not doing this. I don't care how many likes I get. I'm not doing this to be a certain somebody. It's just part of who I am and my experience and my work that I think might be helpful to somebody else. And if it isn't, well, come up with something else the next day.
There you go. Well, and along those lines too, if fear is holding someone back, I love that one of your elements is growth mindset.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so Carol Dweck researched this and popularized it. It was in the hallways at Daimler when they were a customer. So people get it just like they get psychological safety. but they don't necessarily know how to practice it.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is for one person to say, why'd you do that? And that will have a chilling effect.
Yeah.
So what I learned early on was this is very hard to do on your own. There's just too many snakes in your head to either do this consistently or to do it without too much stress. And so that's why we very quickly turn this into a social learning kind of process so that you got the structure and shared accountability and support of a few other human beings who are going through this with you, who have similar fears and concerns. And that gets you over that hump so that you can practice and experiment and adjust, see what's right for you enough until it's a habit, and then you can do it on your own.
Nice. I love that. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will jump into social circles.
Transform your organization with EANS Training. Our premier interpersonal skills training programs are tailored to enhance your organization's employees in communication, emotional intelligence, leadership, and more. We have a catalog of expert-led courses designed to meet the dynamic needs of today's workforce. With highly engaging in-person, hybrid, and remote sessions, we can help elevate your organization's performance and success. Learn more at EANSTraining.com.
Welcome back. Now let's dive into social circles with John. So John, can you give us examples, maybe an individual, maybe a corporate one on social circles and how we can use these?
Sure. So let's take a basic example, a new joiner to a company, right? So you join the company, you have no idea what's safe, like what are the norms in that company? And so a common use of working out loud circles will be that part of the onboarding process, they'll say, well, join this small group. And in this small group, you will build your network. You won't just learn about how to build a wet network. You won't learn about how to make your work visible. You'll actually do it. And in the doing, these groups meet for an hour a week, somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks, depending on the method. But that practice, step by step, over time, in a safe space with other people, allows that new joiner to build relationships in the company far outside of her team, like across functions, across cities. It allows them to build confidence that says, hey, even though I'm new, my experiences here, what I'm learning and doing, are useful to other new people, or useful even to senior people who don't know what new people are going through. And so over the 12 weeks, that new joiner, it's like orientation plus that says there's much, much more to your new company than what you can see. And here's a structured method, a purposeful discovery, as you mentioned. Here's a structured method for exploring what else is out there. And as you do it, to feel a sense of belonging, to feel a sense of competence, to tap into those big three motivators that we talked about, self-determination. Now, for companies, it sounds nice, maybe, for an individual. Like, they get, the benefits for them are clear. Bigger network, they shape their reputation, they've got some confidence. Why would a company do this? It tends to be for some pretty common use cases. Onboarding, we talked about female empowerment. Bosch is probably our biggest customer. They have 10,000 people who've been in these working out loud circles, and 1,100 of them are just members of the female empowerment community. Mm-hmm. Women in 30 countries who are exploring the next step in their career and want the help and support of other women. Of course, the company wants that.
Yeah.
And they have the community, and they have the executive sponsorship. What we give them is a tool, something that the women and men can use to practice. So companies use it for use cases like that, talent development, culture change, etc., crossing silos. And that combination of, first and foremost, it's good for me as an individual. Like, that's the what's in it for me. And it's also good for the company and building these connections. That's what makes it spread.
Oh, absolutely. Well, everyone has a customer, right? So happy customers, happy employees, happy customers.
Yeah. You know, that's another one of those, I'd say, truisms. Like, mm-hmm. Of course that's true. And yet, have you gone into a retail store and noticed? Yeah, so the latest work we're doing is with a retailer in Switzerland, mm-hmm. where they have a beautiful culture, an enlightened CEO, a great history, but it's hard to work in a retail store. Yeah. You're on your feet at the cashier, you know, doing whatever you do. And so we've come up with other methods that anybody, not just office workers, anybody could tap into those three motivators, that experience of self-determination, even in an operational job like a factory or a hospital. That's probably the most exciting thing I'm working on right now is how can we give this experience to anybody in any job that says, you know, I may not help you with your big purpose in life. And we may or may not help you with a different job, but you don't have to wait. Like in whatever job you have, you can craft that job, so to speak, so that you have a better experience as long as you're in it, better for you and better for the people around you.
Yeah, I love it. Well, can we look at how can an individual maybe create their own social circle or how do they get that going? What are some takeaways they can take today? And then I'd love to talk a little bit more about what your company can do too.
Well, a good place to start is with a book. I just talked with someone yesterday. It's like, well, yeah, yep. You know, how do I get started? Thank you very much. So the book has a lot of exercises in it. When I wrote it, it wasn't just meant to be conceptual. The complete second half is, okay, here's how you do it. Mm. We sometimes have public programs. So we have one that just closed yesterday. It's 500 women in Germany as part of, you know, why not? Yeah. As part of a female empowerment program. And it's a beautiful thing to see strangers from different companies, different backgrounds, different ages come together and grow together. They all have their own individual goals, right? So it's for them as individuals, but they grow together. So sometimes we have public programs. You can go to workingoutloud.com and see those. Most of what we do, though, is for companies. And the reason we do that is because, you know, what we found is it takes a certain kind of person or it attracts a certain kind of person who says, oh, I've got time to join a group of strangers and work on myself. And that's good. But we wanted to reach, like I said, reach everybody in any kind of job, not just certain kinds of people. And so the workplace is a good place to do that. So we are integrated into a talent program or diversity program or onboarding or culture change. Mm-hmm. And that then normalizes it. Like the goal isn't to work out loud and be a corporate rebel or anything like that. The goal is simply, here's a tool that can help me in a variety of ways, build my reputation, my network, help me have a better experience at work, and is good for the company and is sponsored by the company, that normalizes it, makes it easy to join and spread. And that's most of what we do. And a lot of that is on the website. There's a brochure and a contact number. I'd be happy to talk to people.
Excellent. So I'm hearing both individuals and organizations can go to Working Out Loud to get the book and learn about programs.
Yes, that's right.
Anything else you want to share about products and or services before we get to your final piece of advice?
Just that it's the reason we do it, I guess, in my own experience at least, was that there's a lot of unnecessary suffering in the workplace. I worked in great companies, like 100,000 people. These were investment banks where, you know, people made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We should have been happy.
Yeah.
But there was a culture of fear and defensiveness and stress. And that career led I talked about, you know, you're a superstar and then your boss changes and then you're not a superstar.
Yeah.
Like your world changes. It's terrible for the company and it's certainly terrible for individuals. So why we do this is to reduce that suffering, to say, wherever you are, you know, and without having to wait for the enlightened CEO or the next transformation program, that wherever you are, you can tap into a bit more control, competence, relatedness. That could help you just enjoy your job more. It could help you get your next role within the company because you'll have a bigger network, or help you tap into a sense of purpose. Whatever it is for you, we've seen all of that. That's why we do it. And that's what I hope that the people listening feel, that they're not helpless, right? You don't have to be a victim of your circumstances. There's a lot more freedom that you might have, even if it doesn't seem that way. And there's a set of skills and practices and techniques that can help you make the most of that.
I love it. Lots of freedom and support.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right. What is your final piece of advice for our listeners and viewers?
You're not alone. I had some woman who was going through one of our programs, and she wrote to me and she's like, I'm really struggling with this visible work thing. We don't have anything to share. And that made me sad because, you know, this woman, she's a professional. She's in a high tech company. There's hundreds of things that she could be sharing. She just couldn't see it. And so as a result, she was voiceless, right? Invisible, and just kind of waiting to see what would happen to her, as opposed to being active and agent in her career. And I guess my final bit of advice is, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Please, like, for yourself, for your family. I know it's hard. And so the structures we've set up, and it's just one possible way to do it. The structures we set up are social, so that you could do it together with other people, and it makes it less hard, makes it a bit more fun, makes it more human.
Yeah.
But whatever tool or method you use, please know that there's a lot more that you have to offer than you may think. And there are many, many more people who could benefit from what you have, again, including attention, appreciation, as well as your visible work, that could benefit from that. So it'd be selfish not to share it.
Yeah.
Please take those steps. Do it together with other people. If the book helps you, great. If you're in a company and you can join a program, great. But don't be voiceless. The world needs more and more of these kinds of positive, generous mindsets and contributions than ever before.
I love it. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today, John.
Christina, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. We hope you've gained valuable insights to enhance your journey as a human being. Remember, practice makes progress. Keep honing those essential skills. And until next time, keep being the best version of yourself. For more resources, visit eanstraining.com.